Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, afternoon, everybody. Like the last speaker, I'll rattle along at a great pace so as not to put us behind. In case you're not familiar with Patient Opinion, we're not a patient lobby group. We're a small Sheffield-based not-for-profit social enterprise that provides an online platform for patients to give their feedback to health services, patients and carers can give their feedback to health services. Now, this conference is built a bit about being as a transition into the new world, and the world that we've heard about is a world of organisational change, of restructurings, different organisations, new bureaucracies and hierarchies. But I want to talk about a different world, which is the world that increasingly people occupy in their everyday lives, which isn't a world so much now of hierarchy and bureaucracy, it's a world of networks. We're increasingly networked people, and this is a world that I don't want the NHS to ignore. So this might come as no surprise to you. A greater proportion of preschool children can now use a smartphone than can tie their own shoelaces. The world is changing very quickly, and people expect to be connected to one another, to friends and family, and indeed to the services they use much more than they ever did. If you go on Twitter at any minute of any day, you'll find people giving their feedback to health services about their experiences. There'll be positives, there'll be negatives. People are talking just as they always did about their experiences of healthcare, but they're just doing it in a different way, using the technologies that they now have available. And they're doing it on Twitter in all kinds of ways. Sometimes people think this is something just for youngsters. This is a tweet from Ivy Bean, who sadly died last year, but she was 104 when she was on Twitter and used to tweet from her care home and tell you about the quality of the care that she was receiving. So there's somebody talking not just to her carers but to the outside world about the quality of, in this case, social care that she's receiving. And indeed, sometimes people do even crazier things. This is somebody who was in hospital with necrotizing fasciitis or some similar condition, who got so bored that he took a picture of his lunch every day and posted it on the web for people to guess what it was. And that turned into a funny bit of press about hospital food bingo, which then turned into a statement from the Department of Health about the quality of hospital food. So sometimes even the silliest things turn out to have policy implications. So the web is changing how we communicate, how we relate to one another. It gives everybody a voice in a way that has never been true in history before. The question is anybody listening to the voice that we now all have? And specifically, is anybody in the NHS actually listening to any of this? I think the view from the NHS is very often along the lines of this is just a whole tsunami of stuff coming towards us. We don't know what it means. And we're busy enough as it is, so how can you possibly expect us to follow what people are saying about us on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else? We've got enough to do already. But I think that the NHS probably needs to start looking at this in a quite different way, which is actually that now that everybody has a public voice and everybody wants their own care to be of high quality, actually patients are able to share their experiences and carers are able to share their experiences and services in a way that actually can be helpful to healthcare. Patients are, in some sense, the last great free resource available to the health service if it really wants to know how it's doing and wants to know what it could do better. People, on the whole, our experience on Patient Opinion is very much that people want their health services to be better and they want to give constructive feedback to tell the health service how it could have done my maternity care better, how it could have done my mum's social care better, how it could have done all kinds of things better. So instead of looking at this as a deluge that people are going to be swamped by, try and look at it as something that actually you could ride with, you could use, you could get something from. Because if you don't listen to what people are saying about you, you end up in this kind of situation, in mid-staffs, where everybody's saying one thing, the health service isn't listening, and everybody knows where that leads. There's a more positive reason for listening to what patients and carers say about their health services, and that's because sometimes they can tell you things that nobody else can tell you. And this is one of my favourite examples of a posting that we received on Patient Opinion. This is some years ago, and it was from a man on an orthopaedic ward, And I'll read this out for you. He said, "What needs improvement are the toilet seats. They're only made for women. Men cannot sit inside them, as men's genitals will not sit inside the opening." He went on to describe a bit more, which I've left out for various reasons. And he says, "With the hip knee replacement, it becomes like Mission Impossible. I spoke to 8 other men who agreed." So he did check that it wasn't just him. Everybody was finding these toilet seats didn't work if you'd had a hip or knee replacement. Now, the patient, in this case, is the only person who can tell you that. You could have taken the chief exec round, you could have taken the head of patient experience round, you could have taken the entire House of Commons Health Select Committee to sit on the toilet seats. None of them would have understood that they were not fit for purpose because none of them had had hip or knee replacements in the previous few days. So sometimes it's only the patient who can tell you. And typically what we find on patient opinion is the things that patients can see that can be better are very simple things like this, which can be solved with virtually no resource and virtually no management time, but will make life better for everybody else who uses that service. On patient opinion, we receive lots and lots of stories from patients and carers, and we aim to get those stories to the people in the health service who need to see them through automated alerting, and then we aim to get NHS staff to respond to say how they're using those stories and to show how they're using them to improve services. And very often we see responses like this. This is a response to somebody posting about the care of their mother in Corderdale Foundation Trust. And the trust eventually comes back and says, "Thank you for providing feedback in your experience. We're sorry that you have concerns regarding the care provided to your mother. Our patient advice team would be happy to take these concerns forward for you and can be contacted as follows." So very quickly, the trust's wanting to turn this into something perhaps that might be turned into a complaint. But very often what we find is that patients and carers aren't giving negative feedback because they want to make a complaint. They're wanting to make things better for other people, and we see this all the time on patient opinion. That actually people are posting not because they're trying to make trouble, but because they're trying to be helpful. And what this person really wanted was this. They say, "My sister and I have no wish to file a complaint. We simply want to highlight the possibility of things going wrong in the way they did for our mother with the CT scan and cyclosine, in the hope that suitable steps might be taken to reduce the likelihood of such things happening to others. If you believe that a formal complaint will help bring about changes, we'd consider that step. But that's not our intent, and we hope that this posting will be enough to trigger some reflection." So that's somebody very articulately pointing out something that we've spent a long time trying to explain to health services, which is people give you feedback, they're not necessarily trying to make a complaint, they're actually trying to help you. So here's an example of somebody who really does get that. This is a posting about a choose a book service in Devon. Somebody posted a slightly grumpy posting saying, "Why can't I use a landline number? The 0845 isn't free with my minutes." And back comes the service saying, "Thank you very much for that. This is why it is what it is, but we're looking at the possibility of changing it." Their constructive reply immediately changed the tone of the person who'd posted originally, and they came back in a much more positive way saying how helpful that was, and they'd be delighted if there was a change. And then a month later, back came the service having made that change and was able to put one of our change stickers on their posting. And you can see they're highlighted in red. This is somebody who really understands what the new form of communication is about with patients and carers. "Thanks for your feedback. It helped make things better for other patients." And that's what people want. And typically, even when people get into the complaint system, that's what they want. They're not trying to take money off the health service. They're trying to make the thing better for other people. So you can see that on the site. Here's NHS Devon using it in that way and turning stories into improvements at very low cost, all based on the free donations of experience that patients are making back to the health service because they want it to be better than it is. I always like this cartoon, which you may have seen before. Sometimes people say to us, "That's all very well, but it's online, and you know, lots of people can't go online." But actually what we're finding is that being online means lots more people can give feedback than could before in all kinds of ways. And we have feedback from people with addiction problems, people with schizophrenia, bipolar, self-harm, people with continence problems, people who simply can't or won't or never would or never could get themselves together to come to a meeting or visit a PALS officer. but will give the most astonishingly intimate feedback direct online because they can remain anonymous. The other joy of being online is you can take those donations of experience that people are giving to the health service and bubble them up anywhere. And this is an example of Nottinghamshire Healthcare Trust, which is very vigorous in using patient opinion, bubbling those stories up onto its own site using our widget. And that's free and easy for anybody to do. So in a sense, we're trying to create a national resource of patient and carer experience, which anybody can use freely for any purpose which will improve healthcare. And that can include not just providers, but commissioners, regulators, educators, researchers, and all sorts of other people too. So I'll just finish with this picture, which is our sort of imagination of what a future hospital ward might look like, in which patient voices are actually starting to become part of the environment of care and are there for everybody to see all of the time. So the transition into the new world that I'd like to draw attention to you is not just that it's an internal new world, which most of the public doesn't understand and won't ever get interested in, into new sets of bureaucracies and hierarchies, but it's actually a new world of networking which people are using and the health service needs to take note of. So the message to the health service is, let patients and carers help you improve services. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.